Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and while you're waiting for the government to enact some kind of universal health insurance, and waiting and waiting and waiting, how about these options? A new kind of lower-cost group health plan is being tried in Texas called 3Share. It bypasses our friends at the insurance companies altogether by dividing medical costs three ways: employer, employee, and a not-for-profit medical group. And here in New York, some restaurants are banding together along with a very progressive doctor to try to cover their employees in another kind of way that they hope could actually become a national model. So let's welcome guests who are going to describe both of these experiments now. Jim Rodriguez is executive director of the 3Share program at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. And Dr. David Orris runs the nonprofit healthcare cooperative for city restaurant workers here in New York. Jim Rodriguez, David Orris, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Jim Rodriguez, explain the 3Share program first. Where did it come from and how does it work?
Basically, this is a model that was developed in Muskegon, Michigan about 10 years ago and turned out to be fairly successful. And we stumbled upon it here at UTMB about four years ago. We recognized that there was a problem here with the working uninsured, and we decided that we would go out and look to see if we could find a model program that we could use. Visited the Muskegon plan, found it to be very straightforward. We liked the way they did their program, so we brought it back here to Texas, started going through community involvement, going through focus groups. We involved the chambers of commerce, a lot of the business groups, and actual small business owners, and developed a model of benefits that we would use. We went ahead and took that model, priced it. It's very similar to the Muskegon program. We priced it here. We used the regular actuary firms to tell us how much it would cost to do a program like this.
Why does this work for the hospital? If it's a third, a third, a third, employee, employer, and the hospital, why would they offer direct funding for coverage rather than rest on the third-party payments that they would get from insurance companies?
Well, a lot of these small businesses could not afford a third-party insurance company. The cost of the policies were too great. There's a huge amount of uninsured individuals in Texas and also in Galveston County. And so to offer this program where the employer pays a third, the employee pays a third, and then the other third is paid by philanthropic funds in a conjunction with UTMB, it just made all the sense in the world.
Right.
So what we found out is when we started enrolling these patients, we started looking at how many of them had been previously established patients at UTMB who were uninsured, and we found that 85% of the previously established patients at UTMB who weren't paying anything are now able to pay.
Wow, that's a very high percentage. So in other words,
your
hospital might actually save money by contributing to the insurance plan. In effect, I realize it's not technically considered insurance, but by contributing to this 3Share alternative system, then by taking these uninsured people in off the street and treating them in the emergency room. And tell us why it's not considered insurance. What's the difference between this and insurance under the law?
Well, the Texas legislature, in their 80th session, they passed Senate Bill 10, which was a Medicaid reform bill, and it included the 3Share plan concept. And what it said was that basically nonprofit corporations could set up these benefit programs and be outside the Texas Department of Insurance rules and regulations. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to compete with insurance companies. One of our qualifications is that you cannot have offered group health insurance within the past 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gave us the leeway to develop these programs and become an actual operating entity. We are very similar to insurance in many, many ways, but we just don't have the shareholder issue. We don't have to, you know, make all these billions of dollars. We're trying to break even.
All right.
That's our goal.
Let's come back here to New York and talk to Dr. David Orris, who runs a nonprofit healthcare cooperative for city restaurant workers. About 15 restaurants and their employees participating, Dr. Orris, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, the big question that no one's saying really is the difference between not-for-profit medical care versus for-profit health insurance. The difference is enormous. With health care, you pay for things that actually happen. You have a fund of money, someone sprains their ankle, you pay $80, whatever it costs, to take care of it. That's your cost. With a for-profit, you pay for everything that doesn't happen, that could have happened over the year. So if you're paying, say, $1,000 per person per month, you're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars, and if nothing happens, you don't get your money back. So the difference between for-profit and not-for-profit is the big, big, big issue. A for-profit company is like their mission statement is to make profit. So everything flows from that, whereas a not-for-profit has a mission statement like, for example, Amnesty International, flows from that mission statement. So if your mission statement is to provide health care for people who are sick, in need, and desperate, that's one mission statement. That would be not-for-profit. If your mission is to make a few elderly people who are very wealthy, extremely, extremely wealthy, then that's a different mission statement. I mean, the American healthcare system works flawlessly if you the mission statement is to make a few people very wealthy.
Well,
that's a big problem.
Right. And we're certainly familiar with that here with respect to media. Our mission as a not-for-profit is to do public service journalism on this program and in our news department, not to make money and find whatever programming we could hang out as bait.
You're like scaring people with the disease du jour.
We're trying to unscare people. But on the economics, Dr. Orris, it sounds kind of scary in itself, because if you have a relatively small group of people, people from just 15 restaurants, and they have to pay, if I understood you correctly, out of pocket a share of whatever the health care needs are of anybody in their group who might get really, really sick, does that work?
No, they don't pay out of pocket at all. You see, it's kind of... I'll explain that 15 restaurants would have about 300 to 400 employees. These are people who do not have any other kind of health insurance, but they can't get Medicaid either because they make a little too much, or they have immigration status problems.
Right.
So what we provide is kind of a slice of the pie. All we cover are what are called ambulatory services. In my medical office, a patient shows up from a restaurant who cut his finger, has a cough, has a headache, has any medical need, and we take care of it. They don't pay anything.
Right. So it's primary and urgent care, basically.
Exactly correctly. If something catastrophic happens, then we have to move to emergency room or hospitals and ambulances. That's a whole different...
I see. And Jim Rodriguez,
in the
three-share program in Texas, it's also a limited... It's less limited than Dr. Orris' plan, but it's also rather a limited insurance product that you're dealing with, right?
Yes, that's true. But let me just say one thing about what our mission here is, and that is to improve the health status of our membership. These folks have been historically unserved, and I've enrolled people who haven't seen a doctor, one lady said, in 20 years. I almost fell off my chair. So the whole issue is, can we raise the health status of these individuals who have been historically underserved? Can we start identifying things through preventive means? Can we do colonoscopies? Can we do the screenings? Can we identify any catastrophic potential, you know, before it actually happens? And then, you know, can we also treat them when they're not feeling well so that they don't wait until they can't stand it anymore and then go rushing off the emergency room? Now, our plan is limited. That's true. But, you know, these folks don't have anything. If we didn't take them, they wouldn't have any kind of benefit whatsoever. Our limits are $50,000 per year, you know, in the hospital. And, you know, that may seem low to some folks, but if you've got someone who's and you're keeping them well, you have a disease management program that's a strong operator that's helping these folks navigate the system and get their checkups and their medications on time and et cetera, it just really makes a huge difference.
Dr. Orris, do you see your system as a potential national model?
Yes, absolutely, on multiple levels. I mean, the health insurance is the biggest scam since the world was flat. I mean, they collect billions and billions of dollars, and their mission plan is to collect all the money and keep it. It's not designed to provide health or care for anyone. So it would be a model in the sense that the fantasy would be like instead of FedEx, you'd have MedEx. We'd have a national, not-for-profit system, and the mission statement is, like Tim said in Texas, is to care for people, keep them well. These people in restaurants, if they get a cough or a fever or some kind of abdominal pain, have absolutely nowhere to go, like Tim mentioned. And what they do is they wait 3-5 weeks, and either they get horribly sick and now cost $200,000 to take out their ruptured appendix, whereas if they came in 3 weeks earlier, you could have diagnosed them and cared for them, you know, way earlier for a fraction of the cost. So preventative care is a big part. But the fact that you're not trying to make profit is the huge, huge difference. Trying to get health insurance for all Americans would, in fact, be a disaster. The health insurance companies are like apartheid. It needs to be dismantled and gotten rid of, not fixed. You know, the idea of apartheid was a really bad system. It didn't need to get fixed. It needed to be gotten rid of. And I feel the same about health insurance, which has a horrible, terrible, dangerous, and harmful mission statement.
But what do you really think about the insurance industry? But if we went to your kind of system nationwide, I mean, somebody has to ration health care. And whether it's the market, because there's too much potential health care to go around to be affordable, right? So wouldn't the government then have to decide, okay, we're going to look at the best practices and what's really worth it, otherwise we're going to have to tax people at a crazy rate?
No, Mark. I completely, completely disagree. I think Tim could back me up on this. Preventative care, if you, for example, took all the money you collect right now, today, for private health insurance, and took all that money and just used it to provide just health care, you paid your nurses well, pay your doctors well, run the hospitals, pay all your meds, you could take care of every man, woman, and child, and disabled veteran, and mentally ill person. There was a show on your program, or on NPR, WNYC, about prisons called The Released, where 700,000 people are put out of prison every year,
right.
Many of whom, half or more, have really bad mental health.
Right.
And they have nowhere to go except a cardboard box under a bridge.
Exactly.
Of course they get arrested again back in the system and horrible things happen, which are expensive.
They need housing and health care.
The cost of not taking care of people is staggering. It's trillions of dollars.
Jim Rodriguez here in Texas.
Yeah, one of the ideas here is that you're going to spread the risk. You're going to have that's the whole idea behind insurance, and you have to have the numbers to do that. You have to have people who come in who are well, and then you pool their resources so that the people who are sick can, you know, access the system. If you do this in a logical, rational manner, that's how you make this system work.
Rationale has to be taking care of people, not making profit.
Exactly.
The difference is
it's a health benefits program as opposed to a health insurance program. We are looking to get people well. If they're not well, we're looking to keep them well, to keep them out of the hospital when they don't have to be there.
Jim,
which costs one-tenth the money.
Jim, what does it cost for the small businesses enrolled in your program with a $50,000 annual benefit limit compared to regular health insurance?
Regular health insurance, a very high deductible plan for an individual would cost probably $400, $500. For our program, a month. For our program, it's $180 a month. One-third is paid by the employer, which is $60. The employee has $60 deducted from their paycheck. UTMB and the Houston Endowment pay the other $60.
Brian, I got to say something very brief about the economics. I'll say as quickly as I can. In New Jersey, let's say hypothetically, you got 100 broken legs a year, and it costs $1 each. That's $100. What insurance companies do is collect $50,000 or $1 million, knowing full well every year without change they're going to pay $100. They're called actuary statistics. The only difference is they don't know the name of the person who will break their leg, but they know there'll be 100. It never, ever changes. They know the cost. They collect 100 times more. That's the big problem.
We're just about out of time. Dr. Orris, for other restaurants that want to join your group, is it open, and would you open it to other kinds of businesses?
Yes, we started. We already joined up. We do the bars and clubs in the neighborhood as well. We're on the Lower East Side. Our website is Lower East Side. We're on the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Say it again. You broke up there. Your website is?
LowerEastSideMedical.com.
Okay. And Jim Rodriguez from Galveston, thank you very much for coming on.
Yes, sir. Can I give you my website? It's www.utmb.edu/3, and share, SHARE.
Jim Rodriguez is executive director of the 3-SHARE program at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. Dr. David Orris with the Nonprofit Healthcare Cooperative for City Restaurant Workers here in New York. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with one more reminder that you can vote for your favorite entry in our satire slam until noon tomorrow. to help choose the four finalists who will throw down at our Green Space Show next Tuesday. Hundreds of people have voted already. You can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, listen to the eight satire semifinalists, and vote and rank your top four. Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program. Annie Schreffler is our Uncommon Economics editor. Kira Feldman was our intern today, and that's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.